Tired of feeling defeated? Join us for a transformative journey through the book of John, where we unravel some easily accessible truths from the Bible that will empower you to navigate your spiritual path and embrace a hopeful perspective for the upcoming year. Well, welcome to day 7 of our World's Biggest Small Group 7-Day Reset Challenge. We've been working through the book of John, and today we're in John chapter 7. I'm Pastor Chad, and I'm here with my friend Kim Weir, who's the author of the book Everyday God, and we're walking through the book of John. And today in John chapter 7, we're going to be asking ourselves 4 different questions, and they apply to the acronym RAMP. The first word is the word read. What did I read in this text? What did the text say? The second is apply. How does this text apply who God is? And then how does this apply to my life? The third word is meditate. And that's just to allow ourselves some space to be able to ask God, what do you want me to gain from this text? What are you trying to change in my life? Taking some solitude, some quiet time. And when I say quiet time, I mean like 2 or 3 minutes. We're not asking for you to give a whole hour. And
then last but
not least is to pray. I know we could all use at least 1 minute of quiet. Let's try to give ourselves 2. But last one is pray in RAMP, that we would be able to pray and bring what we are reading in his scripture back to the Lord and be able to ask him to work it in our lives. And so we're going to just jump right into John chapter 7 as we're reading it. What did I read? What did I listen to in the on-ramp of John chapter 7 today? And I'm going to ask Kim just to kind of kick us off. What's going on in John chapter 7?
Yeah, let's hit a summary here. So if you listened, this will sound familiar. So Jesus is in the Galilee area. He's trying to stay away from, it says Judea, because the Jews there are trying to take his life. That's what it says. But here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles, a big deal for the Jews, a big festival. Interesting, it says Jesus' brothers try to get him to go to Judea to the festival. And their excuse, their reasoning is, hey, if you want to be a big deal, if you want to be a public figure, you know, you got to get out there, man. You got to show yourself. Don't be hiding away here in Galilee. And so they really want to put him on display. And Jesus tells him, the right time for me has not yet come. And then he says, you know, the world hates me and I'm going to testify about evil. So you go on and go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to the feast. They go without him. And as soon as they've gone, as soon as they leave, he stays, as soon as they get on the road and get out of the way, then Jesus goes in secret. So the yet, not yet, was not yet till you guys get out of here, because my goal is not to be put on display. So Jesus goes when he goes on his own terms. And it says the crowds are already whispering about him. Imagine all the stuff that's been going on. They're saying all kinds of things about him. He's a good man. No one wants to say anything publicly about him, though, because they're afraid of the Jewish leaders. Halfway through the festival, he goes up to the temple and he begins to teach. And what we find out as he's teaching about who he is and relation to this Christ, this Messiah that they're all looking for. So he's trying to bring those two ideas together to help them see what's true, that he is the Christ. That's just the other word for Messiah. He's the one the whole Jewish nation has been looking for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the response of the religious leaders is they try to arrest him. They are jealous. They are angry. They send temple guards out. This is so funny to me. The temple guards go and they see Jesus and they listen to him teach. He goes back. The guards go back to the religious leaders. And it says they went back to the chief priests, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? Where's Jesus? And they're like, well, no one ever spoke like this man before, the guards declared. They were mesmerized by this Jesus. And the Pharisees say, you mean he deceived you too? And then I love it, because while they're plotting, guess who comes to his defense? Verse 50. This is a name that'll be familiar from day 3 of the on-ramp challenge. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of one of the Pharisees, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him and find out what he's doing? And so I love that. So this chapter ends with Nicodemus, likely still a seeker, to coming to Jesus's defense before his peers. So that's it in a nutshell. That's what it says. What stood out to you, Pastor Chad?
Well, and I've been mesmerized through the book of John. John as as a piece. And we understand, like, all the gospels are written to be accounts of Jesus' life, and they have different ways of nuancing and different ways of explaining things. And the thing we see in John is he continues to use similar themes over and over and over again. So if you've been in our study, you'll remember he's used some of these words and talked about similar things. So when he talks about the temple, and Jesus has been mentioned that, right? Jesus says, I will destroy the temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And so there's the connection there when Jesus, also talks about the cleansing of the temple when he's overthrowing tables and those sort of things. We also find the idea of living water being spoken of here. It starts all the way back to chapter one when he talked about John the Baptist and John baptizing with water and then Jesus entering in and calling himself the living water to the woman at the well and so on and so forth. So we find these themes continuing over and over. And what I find interesting as we see the themes is we see now more layering of the themes because we've picked up a few more along the way, but it's almost like this really great story is continuing to culminate. I don't know about you, but back in chapter 6, just yesterday's reading, I was mesmerized by the fact that what Jesus said, the response of the religious leaders is, "Let's kill him." And I'm like, how did you go from like, this guy could just be some crazy guy to we're going to just kill him because that's the easiest way around it. But you feel in the text, you feel this intensity around Jesus. Not only is he doing miracles, not only is he doing all these things, but now you have these people who are really hating him. And then Kim mentioned it at the beginning here. We saw it in chapter 6 and we see it again in chapter 7. There are lots of people who are seeking Jesus out. We see like there's this following of Jesus that now is intensifying. So you have an intensifying following. You have an intensifying hatred for Jesus. Now they have already said they want to kill him. And then you have this intensifying of all these metaphors where the encouraging thing to me as I read this is that Jesus seems to be the same from chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, now chapter 7. We find this calming presence of Jesus who is like, nope, I'm still that living water who brings life into people's lives. I'm still like that bubbling pool that will bring healing to even a lame man of 38 years. I am still the one who could turn water into wine. I'm the one who could feed thousands of people with just a few things. Like, I am this God who is here to bring health, not just physically, but to your heart, to bring you to me. And as you come to me, you come to the Father and experience eternal life. There's something calming and there's something powerful in that element as we see Jesus as the story intensifies. I don't know if you picked that up at all.
Yeah.
But that would be one of mine.
I love that. I'm sure that was intentional on John's part. He's a great storyteller, but this is God's revelation, right? And that's how God reveals himself. And it's fun because that very thing that you're talking about in the overall concept, we're actually seeing lived out in individual lives, right? This dawning understanding, this growing understanding. It starts little and it begins to grow and it begins to grow. And those who are willing to stick with Jesus will get the view of who he is. Mm. Last week we saw separating. Some people said, this is too hard. Nope, I'm out of here. And others said, this is too hard. I don't understand it. I'm sticking with you because you get it. I want to get it. So I'm not going. Here we get to see Nicodemus, you know, still in the orbit of Jesus, who met with him one-on-one and shared hard things. How can a person be born again? I don't get that. How can an old person go back in his mother's womb? It was a hard teaching. Here we see Nicodemus sticking around. I love that we get these random guards, you know, who are just sent out to arrest him. And yet they're like, wait, this guy talks like nobody we've ever heard before. And it is that on an individual basis, I think the very thing you're describing that the scripture itself is doing, which is this building upon building upon building. But those who stay, those who draw near, those are the ones who are going to gain from Christ what they need. The only source, the only one coming down from heaven to give them the living water and the living bread. And we talked about last week, the things that are hard, like suffering, and that makes a lot of people walk away. And, you know, here's the thing. We're not always going to get the answers.
Yeah.
You know, Nicodemus probably had a lot of other questions. Jesus said, let me tell you about life. the disciples had a lot of questions. Jesus said, let me tell you about life. You know, here's how you get it. I'm the bread and it's my flesh and my blood. You may come to Jesus. I may come to Jesus with my questions. Why is this happening? And at the end of the day, he may answer a different question and leave me with my whys completely unanswered. But here's what I do. He will tell me what I most need to know. He will tell me the things that help me know him better. He will tell me the things. He will tell you the things that help you reach for and grasp on to the kingdom of God life that he's promised to give you. It's like Job in the Old Testament. Why am I suffering? Got 1,000 questions. And at the end of the day, after meeting one-on-one with God, he walked away with absolutely no answers to his questions. But instead he said, now I've seen God.
Yeah. You know?
And so all of these people, I love that we're getting glimpses of people who are sticking. That to me is what, I mean, it might be not be an implicit message in the scriptures, but that is what my heart leaps toward, is like, there's value in sticking, Kim.
Yeah.
There's value in staying when I don't. I mean, I've got some big questions in my life, Pastor Chad. I've got some big whys. I've got some things that on the surface, it's like, but God, I did this, this, and this. These are the ways I honored you. How could this be the consequence?
Yeah.
I don't get that. So my choice is walk away, or my choice is, well, I'm going to stick it out to the end because I trust you. I don't trust me. You know me. I don't trust me. I know you. I know you have the answers. And I know that if you want me to have the answers, you'll give them to me. But I know in the meantime, you'll give me you. And so this is for me.
And let me just say, something you said was very poignant in Jesus being living. I think that's a powerful thing, that maybe you're coming to this text and really congratulations. Like, you've made it to day 7.
Yay.
But let me just also encourage you, don't stop reading God's word.
Yeah.
The fact is that he is living. And I've read John chapter 7 many, many times, but every time I come to it, because he's living, these words have new life for me. They have new life where I'm living. And because I'm living, my perspective's different. It's different than a year ago or whenever the last time I read. Maybe I just read this a few months ago, but my perspective is different, and these words reach in where I'm at because they are living, because I serve a living God. Don't get discouraged like, oh, I've already read that scripture, it's enough. Let me encourage you, and I think Kim just said it, we're on a journey too. We've studied the scripture, but we continue to study the scripture because it continues to speak to our heart day after day, year after year, and even reading the same words over and over again. That's the power of a living God. He meets us in our living life. It's not just that he's living, it's that he is meeting us who are living where we're at in our life right now. And so as we move from this time of apply and to meditate, maybe that's where we're going. We're taking time to ask, hey, God, this is where I'm at in my life right now. And it feels like this. And maybe it's a good place. Like, I don't always want to make it that we're all in the depths of despair. Like, maybe you're like, man, life is so good. I love my job. I love my family's really thriving right now. God, what do you have for me in the midst of thriving? Like, God is living. He wants to meet us all in the different areas. He met someone in the middle of a wedding feast, in the middle of celebrating, and he meets people on death's door where he's raising people from the dead. He meets people where they are, and the miracles are on both sides of that. So meditate on that and ask God, God, what is it that you have for me in this moment? And take some time to think on that. Meditate on it. Be encouraged by it. And then move that into prayer. Move it into a time of, now I want to commit these things to you. And maybe you're just praying the scripture back to God. God, you are a river of living water. Would you wash over me and cleanse me of these filthy thoughts that I'm having? God, you are the bread of life. Would you feed my soul? Because right now I feel so hungry and starving for something that is true. Whatever it may be, pray the words of the scripture even back to the Lord and make them part of that practice. We also want to encourage you as you're working through this, leave a note, leave a prayer in the comments down below here on the World's Biggest Small Group page.
Absolutely.
And share it with other people. This is the world's biggest and yet small group it is, that we can share with one another, be encouraged by one another, and continue to study the scripture. Don't stop at John chapter 7. Be on the prowl to finish the book of John now. Would you take the next 2 weeks, the next 14 days that would get you through the rest of the book of John? It's only 21 chapters long, but it's an opportunity for you to continue this journey that you've started, not just to stop in 7, but get all the way there, get through 21 and to find your life, hopefully reset to be able to find God in a new way. And let me encourage you. We have many things here at World's Biggest Small Group, like the On-Ramp Daily Bible Reading Podcast. If you listen to just 5 days a week, that's five chapters a week, you can listen to the entire New Testament in 1 year. Thanks for joining us.
Don't miss out on more opportunities like this to rekindle your faith and find inspiration in the World's Biggest Small Group's latest study. Text the word GROW, G-R-O-W, to 67101 to find out more.